KPBS On Demand is supported by the San Diego County Toyota Dealers, offering a new 2025 lineup of vehicles at your local Toyota dealer, including a new Tacoma with turbocharged four-cylinder engines and a hybrid powertrain option. The San Diego County Toyota Dealers. We make it easy.
Welcome in, San Diego. It's Jade Hindman. On today's show, SNAP benefits will restart, but with deep cuts. San Diego is seeing flight delays, and health officials warn there's also a delay in health data just as cold and flu season arrive. This is KPBS Midday Edition, connecting our communities through conversation. So the government shutdown is on track to be the longest in history this week. Its impact is far-reaching. Right now, some flights at the San Diego airport are delayed about an hour and a half because of staffing shortages. Officials there advise arriving at least 2 hours ahead of takeoff. Also, federal health tracking data is unavailable to providers just as cold and flu season arrives. Plus, CalFresh recipients are now navigating delayed food benefits. The news comes as the Trump administration now says those SNAP benefits will be partially funded after recent court rulings determined the government must use contingency funds to keep the program going. And local food banks, though, are standing in to fill the gap. And that's where we start our show. Joining me now is Andrea Caldwell from the San Diego Food Bank. Andrea, welcome to Midday Edition.
Thanks so much for having me.
Glad you're here. So what do you make of this morning's news that the federal government will now at least partially fund federal benefits for food programs like CalFresh for November?
Yeah, well, we know that nearly 400,000 San Diegans receive CalFresh benefits every month here in San Diego County. We know that if benefits had gone away altogether, that would have created a deficit of up to 16 million meals. So we are encouraged to hear that folks will at least get partial benefits. But we know that this will not fill the gap for many of our community members who rely on these benefits every month.
Do you have any idea of when these partial benefits for CalFresh may go out?
Yeah, we don't really know for certain yet. We receive guidance from California Department of Social Services, and we're tracking the news in real time, just like everyone else. We do understand from USDA that because they're partial benefits, and this is something that historically we understand hasn't been done before, it could take states some time to get those out. So we do expect there to be a continued delay in getting benefits out to folks.
Also, when we say partial, how much do we mean? Do we mean half of what someone would normally get, or even a fraction of that?
What we're hearing, we think, is about 50%. But again, we're waiting for official guidance from the state on that.
Well, listen, like many food banks, you all are seeing an increase in need. What has that been like?
Yes, we are definitely experiencing an increase of need. Of course, we started seeing that when the government shut down the 1st of October. Just in that time, during October, we saw an increase in our nonprofit partners to distribute food in their communities, about a 7% increase in requests for food that they needed to help their communities. At our Client Choice Pantry up in our Vista location, we saw a 6% increase in folks coming to visit that facility, and then a 10 times increase in folks applying for food bank ID cards. And that was, again, just our government workers that were furloughed or working without pay. And then, of course, now we're seeing the delay in CalFresh benefits that is almost doubling our normal number of community members that receive help from the food bank.
So since you all are seeing this increase, are your resources meeting the need, or do you need more?
Yeah, we've done a really good job. We had a really nice stockpile to begin with of food here at the food bank, but we have worked to increase that. We've spent about $500,000 just to increase the amount of food that we have. And then as the CalFresh delays continue, We expect to spend between $100,000 and $300,000 a week to scale a response and maintain a sufficient food supply for these folks.
Are there enough volunteers?
We are very lucky that we have a lot of volunteers that come help us here, both at distributions and here on site at our warehouses. If folks want to volunteer, we definitely would love to have them, direct them to our volunteer site at www.sandiegofoodbank.org for sure.
And you know, you've got everything you need now, but is there anything our listeners can do to continue this momentum?
Yeah, thanks. I think even though, you know, the delays, you know, if they come, even a short-term disruption causes a long-term hardship. So we want sort of twofold. We want folks to know that if you need help and need food resources, we want them to know that we're here to support them. We do have our GPS food locator map, so folks can find food resources from the food bank near them. And then if your listeners are in a position to give, we definitely encourage them to make a donation. Every dollar that we get equals two meals and helps power our mission during this critical time in getting food out to our community.
Well, listen, I know we've talked about, you know, the percentages of people in need, but what are you actually hearing from the people you're serving?
Yeah, just, you know, we had a distribution yesterday at Snapdragon Stadium, and we just saw an outpouring of gratitude from the folks that were there. We were able to serve about 2,000 individuals and lots of thank yous, and we don't know what we would do without you, and just a lot of heartfelt gratitude coming from those folks who needed us.
That is excellent, and we're glad that you are in the community helping. I've been speaking with Andrea Caldwell from the San Diego Food Bank. Andrea, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Another area impacted by the shutdown is public health and access to data. Right now, at a time of year when respiratory viruses become more common and with the holidays approaching, it's inaccessible for a lot of providers. So how is this actually affecting all of that? And what does it mean for healthcare providers and the patients they treat? I'm joined now by Richard Garafine. He is a professor of public health and infectious disease with UC San Diego. Professor, welcome to Midday Edition.
Hi, happy to be here.
Happy to have you here. Richard, we know that flu season is upon us, as well as other respiratory illnesses like RSV. COVID is still around, too. How does the federal government play a role in treating and managing illnesses like them?
Well, the CDC manages data that comes in from state and local health departments around the country. And these health departments don't necessarily have the resources or the expertise to analyze that data themselves. So all these data sort of feed into national surveillance systems, and then the CDC manages that data and then feeds it back to the health departments and providers through dashboards. So they can see their own data, but they can also see what's happening around the country. And so these data are very valuable in being able to monitor trends, and they can see when they're starting to see increases in the number of cases that are starting to occur. And that's critical for healthcare providers to know what they can be expecting in terms of the volume of patients coming into emergency departments and being hospitalized and getting the word out about vaccinations, et cetera. So it's going to have a big impact.
You know, tracking wastewater has also become a powerful tool to track those infections in communities. Is that being impacted at all by the government shutdown?
Yes, it is. The National Wastewater Surveillance System is not functioning right now. And as you said, that's an important source of data. So it's a new tool that started during COVID, where we've learned that you can look for DNA from the viruses in wastewater, and we sort of look at how not only the fluctuations in the volume of evidence of disease in the wastewater, but also the strains of the viruses that are circulating. So we can sort of anticipate whether these are more virulent strains that are going to cause more serious disease, as well as planning for new forms of vaccines that can be used to go after the most current versions of the virus. So without that information, we have even less information to anticipate and plan for what's coming down the road.
I was wondering about that, how that might impact flu vaccines, for example. Do we know if we have the right one?
Well, you know, the CDC uses different information, not only from the U.S., but from around the world to sort of track what was going on during flu season in the Southern Hemisphere to say, okay, this is what we can expect to see in our flu season. And so the vaccines are developed with that sort of knowledge. And it's been pretty effective. The vaccines, they don't always get it right, but for the most part, the vaccines have been very effective in mitigating the effect of outbreaks of influenza.
And when we're talking about data, these large data sets are also used for other types of outbreaks, not just infectious diseases, but also foodborne illnesses as well. How do those work to prevent those foodborne issues?
Yeah, so there's a database called the FoodNet that tracks foodborne illnesses across the country. And these are crucial because whereas you might see just a couple of cases of disease in a community that might be related to getting infected with a pathogen from a food source, local health officials might not necessarily recognize that as an outbreak or a problem. They might just think it's a sporadic case. But with a database like FoodNet, where they can track cases from around the country and they use sophisticated sequencing technology to determine whether or not the bug that one person is infected with in one part of the country is the same as in another country, then they can say, how are those related? And oftentimes they can be tracked back to a food source. It might be a provider of, say, ice cream or frozen strawberries or green onions. These have all been nationwide outbreaks that have occurred. And then that leads to food recalls and then training and mitigation at the food source to make sure that these outbreaks don't continue. And that can't happen without these databases.
You know, all of this sounds so concerning, especially for people who may face some illness. What's your biggest public health concern right now?
Well, I think that the job of the CDC is to monitor and evaluate and support local health departments to do the jobs that they do. As I said earlier, state and local health departments receive support from the CDC in terms of funding, but also expertise and then management of these data. And without that kind of support, health departments are sort of relying on themselves to do sort of DIY assessment of their own data, and they oftentimes don't have those resources or the expertise. And so it really sort of diminishes the U.S.'s ability to monitor and track and respond effectively to outbreaks of infectious diseases, but also monitoring chronic diseases like diabetes and hypertension and things like that as well. We're just all less protected without the resources that are available from the CDC and our state and local health departments.
Well, certainly something to be concerned about. Richard Garfin is a professor and infectious disease expert at UC San Diego's Herbert Wertheim School of Public Medicine. Richard, thank you so very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
That's our show for today. I'm your host, Jade Hindman. Thanks for tuning in to Midday Edition. Be sure to have a great day on purpose, everyone.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Bilhau Plumbing, Heating, and Air Restoration and Flood Services. Family-owned and operated over 4 decades, Bilhau has been serving the plumbing, heating and air, and water damage needs of the San Diego area since 1980. With their fleet of trained professionals, Bilhau has the ability to service all major and minor plumbing and HVAC emergency needs 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Bilhau is committed to providing excellent service to their customers with transparent quotes and attention to detail on every job. Whether you're in need of an HVAC installation, plumbing, or water damage restoration in San Diego, they offer the convenience of scheduling an appointment over the phone, online, or through live chat on their website. Call 1-800-BILHOW or visit bilhau.com, because we know how.